I will now call to order the regular meeting of the school board for Monday, February 11th, 2019. Ms. Schwartz, will you take the roll, please?
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Here.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Mr. Noling? Absent. Ms. Weibel?
Here.
And Mrs. Huell?
Here. Would you all please rise me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Very good. Thank you all very much for coming. I hope this night moves along because we want to get you out of here before you're encrusted in ice. Our next item on the agenda is the citizen comments. Ms. Linkemer, would you read the script?
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting, subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker, to a total of 30 minutes at the beginning of the meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personnel matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you very much. Ms. Schwartz, I'm sure you have it. Would you just note that Mr. Noling arrived? Thank you. Our first speaker today is Danielle Penman, speaking on Ethics Advisor Update. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Danielle Penman, and I just wanted to come before the board and find out. I'm hoping that Dr. Pearson will have some updates for the community and District 303 family members, and everybody is interested in finding out where we are with the ethics advisory that we wanted appointed regarding some of the ethics violations that may have occurred with board members. So hopefully you'll have that tonight or soon and communicate that out to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the superintendent report. Dr. Pearson?
Well, I hope not to take too much time tonight, but we have a lot to celebrate in our district, and so I wanted to take just a moment to highlight a couple of the outstanding accomplishments of our students and then some things that are going on across the district this week that I think would be important for the board to know. So to start with tonight, I'd like to introduce Mr. Richter. Mr. Richter is a principal at St. Charles East High School, and we're going to begin by recognizing a student. Mr. Richter.
Thank you and good evening. It is my pleasure to be here tonight to introduce St. Charles East's most recent athletic accomplishment. Mr. Edgar Burgos is our state champion in boys bowling, and I'm very honored to be here today. He's the first individual athletic state champion we've had in a very long time, at least since as long as I can remember. But I'd like to introduce Mr. Steve DeSauer to come on up here and say a little bit about Edgar's accomplishments, as well as talk to you about the support he had from the team, as well as his family, who is also here tonight to share in the celebration. So, thank Mr. Steve DeSauer.
Good evening. It is my pleasure to introduce Edgar Burgos. He just brought an amazing talent, an amazing young bowler, an exceptional season that we had this year. Very exciting opportunity just to see this young man thrive. The exceptional talent that we have here is only a freshman, which is incredibly rare. Going back over the records, we noticed that he was the second in IHSA state history to be a freshman. And what is scaring me the most is the absolute understanding that this guy is only going to get better, and more and more records will come. As a freshman, he shot 844, and it was an incredible night versus Lake Park. We thought he was going to basically shoot all 36 shots, being perfect strikes. For a 900. He came up just a little bit short on that, and shooting 844 was good enough for second in IHSA state history, so that was really great. And he was a big contributor on our team that put up a regional score of over 1,200 for a team of five bowlers, which is an incredibly high score. It was the fifth highest in IHSA history, and it was a great way to start off a tournament on our run to state where we won regionals. We finished fourth in sectionals and fourth in state, and I'll introduce Edgar, who is your state champion.
Thank you.
thankful for everyone, especially Mr. DeSauer, for giving us our team all the opportunities to practice and get better. It was an incredible season, and it was capped off by the fourth place finish in state and my individual championship. Any questions?
How did you get so good?
I've been bowling since I was four, but it was mainly my dad who introduced me, and he's shown me everything I've learned. He's the man.
He's an incredibly talented coach as well. He's very helpful.
I was going to ask if you would introduce your parents or your dad. Please. Hello?
I'm Edgar Sr., obviously, his dad. And like he said, I taught him since he was four. And by the age of 8 or 9, he was averaging like 170, 180. And then at the age of 16, he became the junior gold champion. And I mean, from now on, from 2016, he's been, a great bowler.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see him in the PBA.
Us too.
My wife, Yonitza.
Hello. Hi. Is there a little one down there too? Yes. Is that somebody else? Okay, I'm sorry.
He did have 3 300s this year, and a 299 and a 279, so he was a couple of pins away from having 5 300s.
Wow.
Oh, he was.
Amazing.
Wonderful. Board members, does anybody else?
I want to know when you're available for lessons, because I think 844 is my last 30 years of bowling. So.
Anytime.
Well, thank you very much. We're very proud of you. That's very good. Did you want to say something?
I just wanted to say, there are a lot of sports that a lot of our youngsters play. And they love them, but there comes a time when they can't play anymore. And bowling is a sport that you'll be able to do your whole life. My dad was an avid bowler. He bowled 1 300 game, and I think we heard about it for the next 25 years, every time the family got together, because it's a sport you can continue with your whole life. And what a wonderful gift that is for you to have. So congratulations very much.
Well, Edgar, thank you so much for coming. We are so proud of you, and we look forward to having you return. Now we have, 3 more years to see you here to celebrate your successes.
Sure.
So hopefully we'll get to see you again. Thanks.
Thank you guys so much for your support. And he'll be here. He'll be back.
All right, so continuing on, I just wanted to remind everyone that we are doing the University of Chicago Parent Satisfaction Survey, and the window for that closes on February the 15th. So parents who have not had an opportunity to go in and fill out that survey for their school, it would be appreciated if you would take the time this week to go ahead and do that. Every school needs to have 20% of the parent population complete the survey for them to receive a report, and we certainly would like all of our schools to receive those reports. So if you've not had an opportunity to do that, please complete that parent satisfaction survey. I also wanted to comment just briefly on kindergarten enrollment, which opened on February the 6th. This is the time of year when we begin to kind of check to see if our enrollment projections are in line. And last year, after the first week of enrollment, we had 509 kindergartners registered for kindergarten. This year, we have 537. I mean, if you remember, we predicted that last year would be one of our lowest years of kindergarten, and now we're starting to see that pick up just a little bit. So this seems to be in line with kind of our projections in that area, and we look forward to continuing to welcome families to our elementary schools across the district as we register them for kindergarten. I also wanted to mention we have a unique addition to our website that is going to open on Friday. If you remember back in the fall, we came and talked with the board about partnering with ECRA to help us develop personalized learner profiles for all of our students. We've been working vigilantly with the high school staff to try to get those developed, and they'll be rolled out later in the spring. The final step in the process is to have students help us think about some of the data that they will be entering as a part of our compliance with ESSA. But prior to that, we also have a district dashboard that allows us to see both our district indicators, all of our performance indicators that are aligned with our strategic commitments. as well as the goals that we've identified as a district around each of those strategic commitments. So on Friday, we'll be rolling out this new district dashboard so that the community and parents and staff can see our progress towards each of those goal areas. So if you remember, we have innovative learning, we have quality staff, we have responsible stewardship, and we have community relations and engagement. And each of those four areas will have their own page on the website, and it will all be linked to this strategic dashboard with those indicators and our strategies around those. So we are excited to be able to share that information with the public. Our staff works really hard every day around those goals, and sometimes it's not as visible as we would like it to be. And so it's a celebration of the hard work of our staff and also of the accomplishments of our students. And it will continue to provide a format and a forum for us to share some of the great things happening in the district. So we're excited about it. Our plan is to push it out on Friday if we don't have any technical difficulties. So we're working to get that done, and we'll have it out as soon as possible. So I wanted to highlight that as well. And then I also wanted to mention, you probably have seen around town information about Random Acts Matters, Random Acts of Kindness Week. This is really a celebration in our community where people are encouraged to engage in Random Acts of Kindness, not only this week, but particularly this week, to kind of encourage good citizenship across our community. And we are proud as a school district to have many of our schools participating in Random Acts Matter. If you don't already have them identified on your Facebook or Twitter or Instagram page, you're going to want to do that this week, because they're pushing out pictures and information and celebrations of things that people all across our community are doing to participate. And I think that particularly this time of year, it's good to have kind of some of those heartwarming reminders of the ways that people can be kind and can engage in Random Acts. I just took a moment before the meeting today to look at the feed, and there were multiple feeds and activities that included our schools. Davis Primary is one that was most recently posted about some bags that they designed and some note cards that they're giving out. So it's a really great way for you to see how that is kind of transpiring across the community and to know how our schools are engaging. There's also a list of all of the activities that they have planned for the week in the community on their website. And so if you have the opportunity to participate in one of those, then please take advantage. So their website, again, is randomactsmatter.com. And then the last thing was just the question about the ethics advisor. We have received information from the community. The advisor is doing his investigation, and we will have a report when he finishes with that. And at this point, I don't have a timeline from him. So, and that completes the superintendent's report.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Pearson. Next up on the agenda are the committee reports, and I'll start off by saying that learning and teaching did not meet because of one of the many days that it was just too dangerous to travel. But please tell us what's next.
We will be meeting next Tuesday, the 19th, at 5:30 right here. So, and we should be back on schedule. So, I think.
Can I just ask a question? This will be obviously the meeting from the material from before.
Yes.
And then February. So it's.
Yeah, we're kind of combining two meetings. It should be long, but I don't think it's going to be terribly long, because I don't think any of the items are really drawn out items. So,
okay, thank you.
Oh, gee, thank you. Next is that business services did meet.
We did, and thank you for those that braved inclement weather for us as well. There were no citizens' comments, and then as always, we led off with the Mid Valley Financial Report. And then the D303 financial report, which are both in your packet for information. I will say we jumped around a little bit on our meeting because we were trying to get people that were here and be conscious of the weather. So we pushed some of the more important things to the front, and we also pushed a few items to next Thursday's meeting. So I'm going to go through them as they were in the agenda, and then that way I'll just kind of keep them in line, but that's kind of how I'll do that. Our next item, which is on for consent tonight, is the fiscal year 1920 school fees. They more or less stayed the same. We dropped high school fees by about $10, and then there were a couple of new classes that had some fees associated with those, and those aren't for consent tonight. Next was our audit presentation by Klein Hall. Scott Denzer came in and filled us in on kind of the why we were delayed. Usually we see this in the fall, but due to some state requirements, it got pushed back to our meeting in January. So he kind of filled us in on some new things that are out there, and otherwise everything's kind of status quo, but that's also in your packets for information. Next item, Dr. Chapman brought us the Forecast 5 projections, which is kind of our kickoff to budget planning, which is crazy to say that we just finished it, but that's what we do. We look at our five-year projections, so you know, all of our big levers, and kind of get a look at what's coming down the line for the next 5 years, and we start to use that as our basis for this year's budget. Our next two items are actually items that were moved to next Thursday, and that'll be the Plato courseware license renewal, as well as the FastBridge monitoring tool. Those will be on for discussion next Thursday. Our next two IT items that we did talk about was our multi-function device replacements, which are copiers, essentially. But that's super fancy. Right, so Mr. Smith brought that to us, and we're replacing a couple of those that have met their life expectancy, and that's on for consent. Then our last IT item was the LaserFish maintenance support renewal, and that is on for consent tonight. The next item in the list is our transportation safety manager. Mr. Baer brought us a need for an additional hire for a manager over at Peck Road, and we heard about that and discussed it a little bit, and then administration is going to put together a job description, thank you, job description, and then once someone is hired, that'll be brought to us for action, so it'll be the job description as well as the potential new hire, so we'll look for that to come our way. Next on our list was Mr. Lamp came in and gave us an update on construction and how we're progressing there, and everything's on schedule. We're looking forward to being there next August. Next two items were moved to next Thursday, and that would be the building utilization as well as the Haynes building options for discussion. So we'll continue those discussions next week. Our next few items pertain to our capital improvements. Mr. Baird came and brought to us the first one is the East Gym wood floor and bleacher replacement. That's on for consent tonight. And then our next item was the North High School chiller replacement, and that is on for consent. Also, I should note that all of our bids came in below projections, so that's always a good thing. So as we build our budget, everything's coming so far below. So, and some of these items we'll be able to actually tackle during spring break as well, which is good. Item P was the award of contract for the North High School aquatic scoreboard replacement, and that is on for consent. Item Q was the Redling Middle School flooring replacement, on for consent. Item R is actually an informational item. Every couple years we do a radon testing, and that needs to be submitted to the ISBE in mid-December, and so that was done, and Mr. Baird let us know that that was put out for public display, and so that's in for information as well. Next item was the Wild Rose abatement for the gym floor, and it's on for consent. And then our big item, which is going to be on for action tonight, is additional school resource officers for the middle schools. This is kind of a continuation of the agreement we have with St. Charles Police Department, where we have two resource officers at our high schools. And if people remember, we traded land for like 10 years or something.
Eight.
I knew it was up there. The Littlewoods property. And so that contract's going to be coming up. We have one more year on that. But the board, you know, discussed now that we're going to have bigger middle schools adding resource officers. And so administration worked with St. Charles PD, and this is for a one-year agreement. And so then we'll reevaluate things and see how they work out. So that's on for action tonight. And then our last item was a high school graduation for 1920, and this is a change, so it's going to be on a Thursday, May 21st, and that's due to our calendar change. So we're having that earlier so we can get kids graduated. And then that correlates with our last day of school, which is May 22nd, and that is on for consent tonight. And then, as I mentioned, we are meeting next Thursday, and the two IT items, district utilization of buildings, Haynes options, fund transfers, bus purchases, and construction update. So we'll have a relatively full meeting as well. And some cap stuff. Excellent. So that is that time of the year where we'll start seeing more cap stuff. So as we gear up to get ready for summer construction maintenance. So and that's it.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I was not there because of the date change, but I did listen. And there's nothing quite like listening to the audit report on an audio. At home, you think it's exciting, then. Anyway, it was. Thank you. It was your. Thank you. The next items are. I mean, sorry. The next committee is community relations.
Thank you, Madam President. Okay, so we had a community relations meeting on February 11th. No, that's today. Sorry about that, on January 23rd. In community relations, we talked about, we had some recognitions for student for students. Laura Fang from St. Charles North, she's a senior. She was recognized along with the student council for her efforts to enhance the leadership training seminar that the student council organizes on an annual basis, and she actually expanded on that quite a bit. Remarkable students. Also, the St. Charles North Make a Difference St. Charles Planning Committee was recognized for their efforts to plan, fundraise, and host a Feed My Starving Children mobile pack event for Aquascape, and we talk about that every year. That's an annual event. Excel Automotive and the Mobley family, along with their team of volunteers, were recognized also for an annual event for their wrapping party to support local children and families in the 303 family during the holidays. And 443 local children received holiday presents, and that was quite an event as well. Another item on our agenda was our student liaison report. Anna Miller was the one student that was able to attend from St. Charles North. Our other student was not able to attend, so Anna suggested that we will postpone our survey results of the student survey when she returns for the next committee meeting. But the results were in, so that was exciting. The students were very appreciative of the late start due to the weather. The extra couple of hours allowed the roads to be cleared and the students felt better driving. So I thought that was really good feedback to hear from them. Their safety is our, you know, utmost concern. So I think that's important that we have that feedback that we made the right decision. So it's always good to know. They talked about some other things going on with North. There was a superhero breakfast. There's plays at North, a project dance. We got a flyer on the Amazing Race. So there's lots of events going at the high schools. Please check the websites for those. Also, another item on the agenda was community engagement. There was only a few of us. You came by, Mrs. Huell, thank you, but you had to leave early to go to Angst, so thank you for that. But there was three board members left when we started talking about community engagement. And so the question we talked about was, are we satisfied with what we are doing for community engagement in relation to the feedback in the community? And so that's something we're going to talk about as a discussion point here for the full board, for committee of the whole, because we just didn't feel that there was a full representation of the board to kind of have that large discussion. And so we'll kind of talk about that at the tail end, and we have some comments for maybe that might be more of an evaluation, but we can talk about that later. And the purpose, we talked about what we need to define exactly as community engagement in terms of school board interaction. Purpose of school board is defined by ISB, and the rest of it's in the notes. You can take a look at it. So we'll touch on that briefly at the end of the meeting. We also spoke about, on the agenda, Mr. Moore presented on the King County Opioid Task Force, and it was a general overview just talking about the task force was created by the King County Health Department, And it is representatives from mental health agencies, police and sheriff, hospitals, municipalities, and school districts. And they're kind of just getting going, but that task force is going to be ongoing and in perpetuity with specific goals throughout what they want to accomplish. But their main goal is to reduce opioid-related deaths in the county. The involvement of the schools and the task force, this is the part that I thought was very important, is to be determined totally still, but a component is for us to serve as a communication vehicle to the larger community. So that's something that we'll be talking about hopefully in the future. And obviously, the other thing that we'll be doing is education and prevention. So the last piece was the parent university programming. I'm not going to go through all that. That's all on our website. But I did want to just highlight that we did reschedule the preventing and addressing bullying was rescheduled to March 4th now. That was also canceled because of our lovely weather here in Illinois. But it has been rescheduled to March 4th. And then they have started the programming with the mindfulness parenting, which I thought was really neat. So, but there's lots of Parent University online. Please take a look at that. And our next meeting is April 4th. We will talk at the end of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Weibel. Was there a housing commission? Okay, good.
There was not.
Thank you. One intergovernmental had met just before our last meeting, and we have a meeting on Thursday. So we will see what comes out of that. Are you at that meeting on Thursday? Intergovernmental?
This Thursday.
Yeah, yep. There. Okay, me too. And then DPTO met last month, and Dr. Pearson wasn't, no new material necessarily was really presented, but as usual, PTO could talk about what was on their mind. It was, I think, a really nice discussion time for them. But one thing had come up, and that a lot of PTOs, particularly the elementary PTOs, felt that there were inconsistencies in the field trip policy and application and just a lot of questions. Kind of that feeling, I think a lot of them had that feeling, well, this school does that or we don't do, or nobody, the perception among some that there are no field trips anymore. So I did something I said I don't usually do, but I would bring it directly to the board, and I will bring it, I'm discussing it now, but I'll have it in new business as a something for the board to look at. So that's it. Were there any other committees that I missed? Nope. Okay. Two meetings next week. Good. Thank you. We'll move on to the four action items. May I have a motion on the intergovernmental agreement for the school resource officers?
So moved.
Mr. McNally?
Second.
Second. Mr. Mannheim? It's on, actually, I would ask you to just, it's on for action, so ask you to put your tell us your reasons for that. And
It's because it's something new that we were doing. This will be the first time we've potentially having SRO officers in middle schools, and I think there was we discussed it at the board level a few months ago and asked administration to look into that. And as I kind of highlighted in my notes earlier, which is next year we'll have two middle schools that are bigger and equal to our high schools. So I think it's a good thing, and I think that as the sooner we can get officers integrated with the kids as they're getting coming into middle school and things start to happen earlier and earlier, it seems these days, but now that they see that they're involved and they're there, and I think it's a good thing for our kids and the community.
Thank you, Mr. Mannheim. Does anyone else have anything? Mr. Nolan?
I just always thought that good boardsmanship, if you're going to vote no, you just share that. So I guess my thought would be that I'm going to vote no just simply because I'm just not there yet in terms of, this spend versus what's the next best alternative. And I recognize the need for safety in the schools, but I'm just not sure that I can get there at this point, so I'm going to vote no, but I didn't want to surprise anybody. So I want to share that.
Thank you. Thanks for Ms. Weibel.
As someone else who was at Business Services, I just wanted to chime in and say I appreciate and respect Mr. Noling's input. The other thing I wanted to highlight that came up in Business Services is it's going to be a one-year kind of I don't want to say trial, but a one-year contract. So we're going to look at the effectiveness of this after 1 year to see if the one per school is something that was utilized time-wise, efficiency-wise, et cetera. And again, I respect very much what you have to say. And we talked a lot about it at Business Services. I personally support this. I think it's important for the safety of our students. I think we do have some issues at the middle schools that need handling. But I just wanted to make sure that we pointed out that it's a one-year contract, so we will review it for efficacy. Thanks.
Real quickly, it did come up, and it should be pointed out, I think Mr. Manheim said it, but we have two middle schools that are approximately equal to the size of our high schools, and in fact are bigger than other high schools that do have school resources resource officers in them. So I think as a safety issue, it's something we do need to look at, and we are using this as a one-year sort of a trial to see, so I think it's a good idea.
Thank you. Anyone else? I would just add that I'm a little bit with everybody in the sense that I'm not 100%, you know, if we need that type of a role in both middle schools. I think that I am going to vote yes, and I think it's a great opportunity that we have to try this out, new campuses, new facilities. It's a one-year contract based on the other contract. So a lot of things come together, I think, to say that we should do this. But I do wonder, you know, should one of those positions be a police officer and one of those be a behavioral interventionist or something else like that? So it'll be a good trial. And having this is just really a win-win. So with that said, if there's any other conversation? No? Okay.
I just wanted to say really quick, Ms. Heal, that's an interesting point, so we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something to put in the back of our heads.
Mm-hmm.
Your suggestion, okay.
Just as a more other commentary, these are more seasoned officers as well, so they're more on the detective level, so usually with 5 years' experience or more. So they are more trained for this type of thing as well.
And then further, another thing that was brought up at Business Services is because we've been doing programming in the fifth grade, we've not had the same police departments doing things in all of the schools. It's been dependent on where the school was located, and this will give more continuity school to school, and the curriculum and the programming will be more stable, and we'll be able to predict a little bit better about what is going to be taught and what's going to be covered.
Very, very true. All good points, and I think it's just a great opportunity to try something out, and there just can't be a negative in this, so.
There's one more quick thing, because that just reminded me of a point that I wondered about. There's a cost breakdown, and part of it is because of the instructional capacity that the officer's in. And so really, some of the costs that we're spending on the officer, we would be spending anyway because they're coming in to do other training. So I guess we're talking about a marginal cost here as well. We're not talking about a full cost as much as a marginal cost. And correct me if I'm wrong on that.
I did. I would just like to take a moment just to highlight the fact that we enjoy a tremendous partnership with the St. Charles Police Department and the City of St. Charles, and they are always willing to do whatever we need, and they came to the table as we presented them with this opportunity and said, you know, we've never done this before, but we are certainly willing to work with you to meet the needs of the community and the schools. And so I think it's important every time we have an opportunity, because I don't know that every community enjoys the same kind of relationship that we have with the city and with our police department and our fire department and our other municipal services. And I think it's important just to highlight that. So I appreciate the police department working with us to try to come up with an agreement that addressed our needs, but also really they're committing to a short-term situation and hiring officers to do so. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm just one more thing is I was reading over the contract or what I could decipher in the contract. There's also a opportunity or there's a chance for them to, the officers, to work extracurricular, and that's part of this, correct?
Or is that additional time?
We pay additional hours beyond the school day if we ask them to stay for sporting events or activities.
Okay.
And so we often look to our school resource officers to see if they're available to do that because they have a relationship with students. But they have a process with the police department in identifying people who are interested and able to work our events.
Okay. Because I know that's the case for high school, but I thought maybe this was different. And then I was interested in why there were differences. But there aren't. Same thing. Okay, thank you. Okay, now, Mrs. Schwartz.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Noling?
No.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes.
Yes.
The motion carries. Thank you. Next item is the consent agenda. May I have a motion to approve?
Mrs. Huell?
I will ask you afterwards. Okay. I think that's the process. I'll
motion for that.
Mr. McNally is first.
Second.
And second. I think Mrs. Linkemer was mouthing it. Mrs. Linkemer seconds that motion. That's okay. Does anyone wish to have anything pulled from the consent agenda?
My apologies, Madam President. Yes, I'd like to pull N from the, N as in Nancy, from the agenda,
N?
Please.
Is there a second?
I don't think I need a second,
second
to pull something.
Not to pull something.
Yeah.
Okay. That said, we'll be voting on all the items except for N. Mr. Schwartz, will you take the roll, please?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Noling?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries. Now, we will look at item N, the Northern Illinois University High School graduation contract for 2019-20. Ms. Weibel.
Do we need a motion?
Did I say?
You pulled it.
I pulled it.
So you need a motion for approval and then discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were just okay. May I have a motion to approve the Northern Illinois University High School graduation contract for 2019-2020?
So moved.
Yes. Mr. Noling, Ms. Link. Okay. For discussion.
I will jump in and explain why I pulled it now. First of all, I think there is some confusion about pulling of the motion. This might be something we want to internally tackle at the self-eval. I did have concerns about this at the business service. It was not pulled then. I've had discussions about pulling it, and it wasn't pulled before the meeting. So I'm not sure how that process works. Maybe I'm unclear on it, but I believe that's something that we'll have to discuss and self-eval the process. Maybe we can revisit it as a board of seven. My concern with this is that we have not, I feel that we have not vetted it to the point of information. I want to kind of take a look at it and have some discussion points on it. It's going to affect families. I wanted to look and see if there's any other options on what we could do in relation to weekend after or Sears Center, even though I know it is a different cost, and I'm just wanted to have a board discussion about that. Having it on a Thursday night, I think, is certainly going to be a disadvantage to families who have students in other schools. So whether they have elementary, middle schools, children, they're going to have school the next day. I think that will be difficult. I don't think it's unachievable to do, but I just think it's something we need to take pause in and really have a discussion on. So I open the floor for discussion.
First of all, I think it's just fine to pull something, and since I did listen to the recording of the meeting and I didn't hear anybody object and wanted it on for action at the meeting, I just thought I would go with what the chairman had gleaned from the table, and it's fine to pull it, you know, later on. I guess my only question would be, for Dr. Pearson, it's like, how are we on the timetable for this?
Sure. So, as you well know, these events centers fill up very quickly with graduations. When you look at the number of high schools that we have in our area, vying for kind of key dates and weekends. We were fortunate to get into a facility that is usually quite full with graduations with our previous contract. This, in the renewal process, we became aware, and if you remember, we moved off Memorial Day weekend when we moved to NIU, and now that we are we will have students finishing school earlier, we are trying to find a new date that's available. So as a part of the conversation with NIU, we asked about both Saturday and Sunday, which is the 23rd and 24th, and it's not available that day. We asked about the following Wednesday and the Wednesday before. It was not available that day. And so Thursday, the 21st, was the day that they had available. If you remember, when we moved to NIU, it's about a third of the cost of what the Sears Center cost. We were paying upwards of $35,000 for the Sears Center, and the NIU Center cost $12,500. So it's a significant savings for the district. In talking with the principals, they felt like, you know, one of the challenges with that particular weekend, especially on Saturday, is that often many of our students are involved in state competitions on that day. Several of the state tournaments are on Saturday the 23rd. And so that's one of the reasons why we moved to Sunday several years ago, was so that students would have the opportunity to participate in those competitions. And it's a pretty big, it's track usually, which is a pretty big group of students that are often involved. And so they felt like for sure we would capture students that would be engaged in that competition. And there's others also that same weekend. So that was the reason for the recommendation. We certainly are open to other ideas if you want us to pursue them. Of course, the longer that we wait, the fewer places will be available.
Did we look at the weekend before, or is that too tight in terms of number of days required and so forth?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if we pursued the weekend before. No, we did not.
Do you have a feel for if that would give us the right number of days?
Yeah. Well, it won't. I mean, I will also say that in this community, the seniors have finished school several days before the last day of school for many, 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 many years now. I think we really attempted, when we started doing it the weekend after Memorial Day, to have seniors finish the entire school year, and I think that would be our preference. But it's been past practice for them to finish early. That's not what we want, but if that's what we have to do, then we can look at that as well.
So just to clarify, would this be the first year we would change past practice of them starting or finishing at the same time as the underclassmen?
No. So when we moved to NIU, they were not then finishing the year. Prior to that, when we were graduating on Memorial Day, most of the time we would be in school the following week. So depending on how many inclement weather days we used, anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 days after the fact.
Sorry, the last 2 years then.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, because this will be the third year.
Okay. I would, sorry, is there any?
We don't have too many choices, and it's a good opportunity to see, you know, maybe people would love it. You know, maybe they'd rather not have it on the weekend, but we don't know. Unfortunately, we also won't know by the time we have to sign the next contract and set up our days.
Right.
Okay, so it's something to
I think the concern that Ms. Weibel raised in terms of, you know, balancing the elementary and even middle school commitments, I think that's a valid concern. I just, based on what we just heard, I'm at a loss as what the alternative would be.
We did not pursue Sears Center because of the difference in cost. If you wanted us to try to see if that facility is available, we can go back and see if they have dates available, but just understand that that's about three times the cost.
I guess a thought I have, and I had it when we were at these Northern Center this year, is that there are 3.5 hours between the two starts, and it just seemed like an awful lot of time. Like, it's to their, it was their direction, I guess, to have, you know, could we ask to do it in 3 hours? Because the ceremony itself takes less than an hour and a half, right? That gives an hour and a half to do changeover, and the flowers don't change, and the seats don't change. And I'm just wondering if that's a consideration of families that have a youngster, just that little bit might help.
But to move up the time for North?
The time for North, just a half hour maybe.
The other concern, just to bring it to the table, I mean, there's pluses and minuses. We've talked about pluses and minuses. I mean, the plus could be you could have family come in from out of town that Thursday and then stay the whole weekend. The minus could be you have parents that travel during the week for business and they cannot get out of it, regardless of how much they pre-plan, because it's required for their job. I mean, this is a momentous occasion for all families, and for some families, this is the first person to graduate in their family. This is the only graduation that family may see, and I am concerned that there are going to be people that are not going to be able to attend, that it's very valuable for them to attend. And on the flip side, if we were to have it on that Saturday, for instance, you know, then you have students who aren't going to be attending, and that's the priority, is the students. So I would be curious to see, I think, what the weekend before would look like. We've only been out of practice for 2 years where the seniors have gone to the full term of the year. And I just think it would be, I mean, I understand the cost of the Sears Center. Certainly that's a factor. This is a one-year circumstance until we get a kind of a handle on the calendar. I think it would be worth pursuing to see what the option is. So
what do people think about that based on all this conversation that's gone on?
Yes, I don't want to see us going back to the Sears Center and spending that kind of money on this. If it's available the weekend before at Northern, that doesn't phase me or affect me one way or the other.
But I don't have an idea with the calendar not in front of me. How much, you're moving up finals, AP exam,
yeah, I don't know. I think probably they have vetted this as best they can. That's their job, to vet this. So I'm assuming that the Thursday is the best option we have. But I'm just saying I don't want to see us go back to Sears Center and triple our costs for graduation.
Agree there.
Right now, I think we kind of expressed this. It seemed like that was the only option. Certainly, if we could do it the previous week, that'd be great, but it sounds like that's not really feasible. So, but I don't think Thursday is an optimal day to have a graduation, but it kind of sounded like we were stuck between a rock and a hard place. So,
board members, do you feel like you've heard enough to be able to decide on this?
I'd also like to point out that if we kick this down another month, there's a possibility that we lose not only this weekend, but maybe that previous weekend's gone too, and we could end up with graduation in June now. So it's something that, I understand the concerns, but maybe it's something that we look at, because it's all one-year contract. It's 1 year. So I'd hate to see us lose something that we worked for. So
just out of curiosity, from the board's perspective and administration, but is there an appetite to go to the previous weekend? And I guess my question would be, we're going to be on the phone with these folks and saying, hey, we're go, we're no go. Oh, by the way, is the weekend before available? I mean, could we sort of approve, but sort of express that, maybe if we got an opportunity to go that weekend before, we might want to do that? I mean, I just want to take the temperature of the board. That might be an option to say, okay, we're down for the 12-5 on Thursday if that's the only option. But if we have an opportunity to say the Saturday before, that would be our preference. And
But to Mr. Noling and Mr. Manheim's point, I think it would be helpful if we could, because you're really approving the amount the $12,500, if you could approve the amount and then provide us with some guidance. If you want us to look at another date, we could certainly go back and say what else is available. You know, I can tell you the days that we know are not available are Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday. So the 20th, 23rd, 24th, 27th. But we didn't ask about the weekend before. So if you want us to do that, that would be something that we could do. But it, I don't know that we want to wait another month to try to bring mm-hmm. back a date, because that could very well put us in jeopardy of losing this mm-hmm. date as well.
I wanted to just say, because I'm thinking we're talking about dates here, and I know the time of year, of course. This is for May 21st, a Thursday, and so the Sunday would be May 17th, probably. I think that's college graduations then, and I think that would be an even tougher conflict to navigate. So just want to make sure that we all know how early we're talking about, May 17th. So
this may be a dumb question, but what about Fridays?
I think we believe that Yorkville has Friday, but we have to double check that.
Mr. Moore, starting which day?
The Saturday prior, the 16th. Well, the 18th and 19th are Monday. So Saturday the 16th, Sunday the 17th, and the 20th, 21st, are the 22, 23, 24 of those. 25th is not, but that's Memorial Day. That's not an option. Then
what about, Mr. Moore, the Saturday after, which would be the typical Saturday we reserve?
All the way to the 30th?
Just asking, yes. Oh, yeah, we reserve the Sunday normally.
It's usually the Sunday of Memorial Weekend. When does school end that year? What date?
The
22nd. So the seniors wait for 8 days to wait around. Okay.
I think there is a reasonable degree of warning that we could provide to parents who might need to come during the week. You know, I think it's a year and a half downstream, and I think, you know, if we were to say, hey, it's during the week, you know, save a vacation day, it's a year and a half from now. I mean, it's not like we're going to spring them out at the week before.
I do like your suggestion, too, of moving up the time for the second ceremony. I think we should be able to do that pretty easily and, you know, bump it up to 6:30 or 7. And that would help.
Well, I think we're having a very healthy discussion. And mm-hmm. I'd like to make a motion to continue it to March 7.
Okay. Is there
For more information and discussion.
Well, I should only have my mic on. Sorry.
So
because of the healthy discussion, yeah, I'd like to make a motion to continue to March 11th for more discussion and information.
Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
I'm sorry. To that point, then, Dr. Pearson had asked at least that we approve the amount so they can have those other discussions. So
I'm not sure because we're talking about further discussion. We're talking about haven't decided anything yet.
Okay.
I think, as I read it. So there's a motion. Is there a second? There is not a second.
I'm sorry. What?
This is a motion by Ms. Weibel to continue discussion till the next meeting, March 11th.
I can second that.
You what?
Okay.
What did you say? Okay. Mr. McNally seconds. Is there further discussion now that there's a motion on the table? Okay.
Oh. So I'm going to vote on that first and then move on to the new one.
This motion, right, I would say. It's close enough to her. Okay, so we're going to vote on this motion. Is there further discussion so that everyone is clear that the motion is to delay this or have future discussion at the next board meeting? Does anybody have any conversation on that? Discussion.
It's a continuance, sorry, for this item to be, for this motion to go to March 11th.
Right.
My only hesitation or concern is that we would wind up in a worse position than we are now in terms of availability of the facility.
As Mr. Mannheim mentioned, we have the potential of losing this date as well. So I don't want to do that. That's the concern I have about postponing this for another month.
So we will take the roll on, or I'll ask Ms. Schwartz to take the roll on the motion. Do you have a good verbiage on the motion there?
So we're
just for you that it'll be correct.
Mrs. Huell, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
So are we thinking already about our reservation for the next year after so that we can lock something in and do not have this same circumstance?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. We'll pursue that as soon as we can with them for the following year.
How far out do we have to?
Well, we need to have an idea about our calendar for the following year, but as soon as we have that, then we'll be able to, to begin that process.
I will just clarify again that this motion is on to postpone this discussion till the March 11th meeting.
If I can just ask the people who deal with these, do you think that's a legitimate concern that we may lose this date?
We are very concerned that we will lose this date.
Okay.
Okay. Would you please take the roll, Ms. Schwartz?
Mr. McNally?
No.
Mr. Nolan?
No.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
No.
Mrs. Linkemer?
No.
Mr. Mannheim?
No.
Mrs. Huell?
No. Okay. So we do not, motion is,
does not pass.
I was trying to think of one word. So we'll go back to the original motion, which is on the Northern Illinois University High School graduation contract for fiscal year 2019-2020. We had that motion. Is there any more discussion about it? I think they've all been kind of intertwined. So does anyone else have anything they want to say about it?
Should we pass this motion, would we still be able to have the discussion about these other concerns or
The future meetings or the future graduations?
Would they be able to continue to negotiate with Northern Illinois to try to get a better?
I would just guess that if we set forth and they apply, put the money down, that's our date. I guess unless something happened to some other organization and something opened up, we have time till that graduating class of 2020 meets that date.
I certainly think we could let them know that this is not our first choice, and that if something else comes available to let us know, and then we could notify the board and the principals. I think it depends on when that happens. If that happens next week, great. If that happens in April of 2020, well, that's a different story. So this is the perfect storm because this is also the earliest Memorial Day normally is. So you kind of collapsed several graduation weekends into one weekend. People who typically have the weekend before Memorial Day or the people who typically have Memorial Day weekend, because Memorial Day is so early that year, it's just caused a bunch of graduations to kind of collapse in on each other. So.
Okay, I thought that's a good question and a good solution that we can say it wasn't our first choice, and you never know. Okay, so if no one has any other points, no? Ms. Schwartz, will you take the roll call, please?
Mr. Nolan?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
No.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries. Oh, thank you, everyone.
Under the, that's our last action item for a vote. For information includes the Freedom of Information Act requests, the CUSD 303 financial report for November and December of 2018, the Mid-Valley financial report for November-December 2018, CUSD 303 our audit for last school year, and the district rate on testing results and their submission to ISBE. Next item is for discussion, and Ms. Weibel alluded to it earlier, and I'd like to spend about 10 minutes and find our disposition for what we're going to do next, you know, with an eye toward what we're going to do next, and I would like Ms. Weibel to start since it's her area. Thank you.
Oh, sure. No problem. Thank you, Mrs. Hewell. I don't even know if we are going to spend that much time. In our discussion, it was, I mean, I'd like to spend that much time. We could probably spend several hours, but in our discussion, it did kind of become very clear that we weren't sure we were even hitting our goals as a board for community engagement, and so that was something we wanted to discuss with the whole board. Are we achieving the goals? Are we satisfied with community engagement in relation to community feedback, email, social media, etc.? How are we measuring the ISB guidelines for community engagement? As we discussed it, and please feel free to chime in afterwards for those that were there, we realized this might be more of a evaluative process, so this might be something that might be more relevant in our board evaluation discussion. It might be better suited for board evaluation in a few weeks, but I encourage those who are present to chime in.
I thought about this when I saw this on the agenda and when we had the discussion that night. I think, you know, my thought is that it would be helpful to have the board have some type of ongoing mechanism where we hear the board specifically, not necessarily the administration, but the board itself hears from the community. And I think we've really wrestled with how do we do that? What's proper vehicle, and how do we speak with one voice and at the same time hear, you know, many voices? And, you know, so that's what we were wrestling with. And I think, you know, as I sit and kind of where we are in terms of the date, I think it might be something that, you know, that a good election might, you know, clarify. People can talk about, you know, and kind of discern maybe what's going on in the community and bring that back and maybe think about, you know, on an ongoing basis what the board does in terms of, you know, getting that feedback. But I think that there was some concern on the part of the folks there is, you know, is this something that we, you know, is it something we value as a board in terms of getting the feedback and engaging in whatever process that we decide to do. And so I think maybe the discussion was wanting to be like, hey, do we want to engage in further discussion around it? I think is probably the point that where we wanted to kind of have the conversation at the board table. I don't know if that's a fair characterization, but I think at least where I'm at.
I would agree.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think, you know, the challenge when we had fewer board members at the meeting was we didn't really feel like it would be appropriate for us to speak for the board. So that was one of the reasons that we came up with the idea to bring this to a full board discussion, and because I think it is very important for us, if we're going to set a strategy around community engagement, I think as a board we need to collectively buy in to the need for that. And so that's where I think the Community Relations Committee, I think, has always been at a crossroads because we haven't really been able to move off of that.
Right, and so I'm just going to step in because I just want to make sure. I mean, I've listened to the discussion that day, and that was really helpful. It seems like we have very definitely at least two questions. One is community engagement, and the other is the role of the Community Relations Committee. And so we have, I'm not sure if I've been very clear on the difference between the two and what the, but that's something we can, you know, address at another time. But I just thought for myself, if I were sitting here and hadn't, you know, heard the discussion, I'd be maybe confused about exactly, and you guys sounded like you were guys were trying to think your way through it also, so.
Well, it's quite frankly frustrating for us to try to speak for the board with making a step forward with community engagement when we don't have the full cooperation or participation of the board. So we can only presume that it means that we don't have full buy-in from the board. So that's why we brought it to the full board. So we don't want to make presumptions, but we feel, those of us that were there felt very strongly that there should be a community engagement component. It's one of our goals. We need to develop a strategy about how we want to be more effective and efficient with it, and we really need to make sure we're reaching those people out in the community. But we don't have perceptually buy-in from the other members of the board. So that is why we talked about it potentially coming up in a evaluative process, because that's a concern with the structure and of our board and where we're at internally versus more detail-oriented of do we want to have a summit or do we want to have coffees and that sort of structure. We really have a kind of a deeper issue in regards to the seven of us.
Actually, I'd put my light on before that, because I was going to say that we have run into, as we know, and maybe people, we have issues as far as how we can meet in a community setting and be board members and maybe take feedback but not say anything, because, so we had our legal system talk to us about really a lot of things that we can't do that people think we can do. I think once we got to that point, we kind of stopped, stood back, and waited to see what we would do next. That was this summer during our retreat, if you remember. So that said, I'm interested in hearing what everybody has to say, for sure. But I would like to just point out that we do have the previously, it's been set for many weeks now, the board self-evaluation, which we should do before we evaluate the superintendent. This is all part of the process. And so it's a start, certainly, to talk about our board goals, because that's how we're going to evaluate ourselves. It seems like it's a perfect timing. If anybody has more to say about it, I'm interested.
The only comment I would make on that, I just think it's very important at the March 5th meeting that enough time is allocated to have discussion and to really flush out this particular component. Because I think the committee, I think through no fault of the leadership, has struggled for the last couple of years to kind of find its way and make an impact. And I think it's challenging to do that for the committee chair if there's not buy-in from the board.
I would agree.
As last year as co-chair, Heidi, I'm sure you understand, sorry, Mrs. Fairgrieve, I'm sure you understand the frustration as trying to lead it with not everyone on the train, right? So I think Mr. Noling and I have felt that frustration this year as well, trying to just come up with the objective without everyone on board the train. So I think it's, it's something, to your point, we have to allot the time for. If we wanted to table it to the summer, to Mr. Noling's point, not table it, but talk about the structure of the committee with potentially a new board. We could talk about if we want to do something different, but I do think we need to talk about the people sitting on this board and what their belief in community engagement is in relation to our goal, because that is what we need to assess ourselves on. That is what the self-evaluation is all about. Are we hitting that goal? And so that is something that we were trying to achieve and can't do it with just the three of us, so it's important we allot time to talk about that.
So I'm certain we can do that. We will start at 5:30.
That's fine.
I think that is the time.
Right.
5:30 on March 5th, and have a bite to eat and get right to what Ms. Martinez would do for her normal board self-evaluation. I will talk to her shortly about that, but she knows that. I mean, this is just pro forma what boards do, and then ask her about this particular topic is something that's likely to show up to be a struggle to get somewhere. And I think, but I think at this stage of the, okay, so that's one thing. That's a definite. Then we'll do superintendent evaluation. And then after that, I'd say maybe any, as you were maybe alluding to, changes in the committee, there'll be changes in people, there'll be, you know, that sounds like good summer work. So that's where I think this could go. If anybody wants something more, please tell me. I'm just trying to make sure we put this into an action item, into action.
I would just, I appreciate the spirit that you're approaching this with, and I would underscore Mrs. Farragher's point that I think that we should allot the time to do it at the meeting, and I think that, you know, it would be good for us to kind of have that self-evaluation and have the time to step into it and discuss it more deeply. And I would hate to see that get you know, kind of shifted off to the side. You know, it has been, I mean, I've, you know, I've only been back a little bit, but this has been kind of my main committee, if you will, assignment, and I don't feel like we've made a ton of progress. I feel really great if we could, you know, kind of have you know, this is where we're at least understanding where everybody is is the first step in figuring out where we go forward. So I would just, you know, agree with Ms. Farragher. If we get the time, that'd be great.
Okay.
I think there's some logistical problems that we have with this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the legal issues about what constitutes a meeting, what can be discussed, what feedback might be allowed with the public. Those things are concerns. But the other part of it is that we can do all we want with the seven of us, and probably everything we can do, and with the administration as well, is to, our job is to disseminate the information as best we can, as accurately, truthfully, and in a timely manner as we can. The response from the public, you know, that's something we're never going to be able to properly gauge, and we can't force them to come to a meeting to say you must engage us. And that's why I think some of the frustration comes in, is that you know, that a lot of the different efforts that you might put forth, the public is if they have the information and they're not responding, that's the kind of the what do you do then? And I think that's kind of where some of the frustration for all of this process is.
My personal beliefs, I'm not sure that we, you know, it's a big summit all the time where we have to have a million people in the room. You know, I don't know what it looks like, you know, but I think that to me, the biggest question for the board is, you know, what's the community sentiment around what are our goals and what do we want for the community in the public schools? And, you know, you have, as I shared it at our meeting, we've had like a dozen, maybe, speakers in the time that I've been back on the board in terms of public session. Now, does that represent, you know, the collective will of the community? Because that's who we hear from collectively. As when we have one set of ears, that's who we hear from, is 12 people, or we've heard from 12 people. I don't know that. I don't know what the answer is. They might actually, you know, represent the will of the community. Or it might be they don't at all, but they're you know, those 12 people happen to be motivated to be here. And so I think a good community engagement process would, you know, go beyond having just one big meeting, but give us ongoing feedback to make sure that we're really broadly representing, you know, the district.
Right. That's why I'm saying that it's our job as a board and as a district administration to disseminate information as widely, honestly, and in timely a manner as we possibly can. Beyond that, it's kind of up to the members of the public. And those 12 people you reference, it's a different 12 people all the time. I was 6 years ago, I was one of the 12 people or the 50 people or whatever it was, because there were things that motivated me before I was on the board. And I think that that's kind of the way this has always been, is
when there are those issues that impact people. And I think one of the things we need to do is make sure that everybody understands that if it impacts one part of the district, it's really kind of having an impact on the district as a whole. That's our challenge, but how to get that's, again, I think it's a difficult thing because all we can really do is there are only so many permutations that we can go through for disseminating information. And that's the side that we can do. The response is kind of not up to us. Letting people know that we're available for response is probably the issue.
So we want to discuss this on March 5th, all pieces of it. And then probably, well, we'll just see what March 5th brings. I don't want to presume anything or go any further, but I think that's good. But I think anything that really involves a lot of really kind of the visioning and things, it seems set, we'll see, we can see what seems like the right thing to put off to summer board workshop time, but certainly to really flesh this out and give ourselves a plan that then will be worked on in the summer.
Yeah, I think to put all seven of us in a room to create a strategy is something we can certainly do. And I think that's what we're talking about, but we have to make sure we're all on board with that. And that part has to be done at Avell.
Mm-hmm. I saw your...
I would just agree with Ms. Weibel's statement. I wouldn't expect that we need to get to solutions on March 5th, but I do think we should be able to, again, get to some type of consensus about what our underlying charter we want to be or vision related to community engagement, community relations. That would be a successful outcome to me. And then with the new board and moving into the summer, then assuming that that board agrees with what was determined, then we could come up with solutions and things like that, hopefully to implement going into the fall, would be my thought. So
that's what we will, that's what we will do. So this was good. Does everybody feel like we've kind of gotten it without going into specifics about what you like and what you know? Okay. I mean, okay. Thank you. So that was our discussion item. New business, does anyone have new business?
I do have one too. Do
please?
You want to go first or?
If it's different, why don't you go first?
It is different. I have two new business items. One is just kind of a statement. Mental health came up at the Candidate Forum this weekend, and we are seeing innovative discussions and programs happening all around the county for mental health, and I just wanted to raise it up to the board. We had an additional valued staff member on the personnel report today with their resignation for the end of this calendar year, and I just want to say that I hope the board administration can come together with this serious topic and talk about the strategy that we need to put in place for coming years. Mm-hmm. It is a very important topic. I think we are doing a lot of great things, but I'd like to see a more clearer picture from staff and board as to what our objectives are for mental health. So that's just something I said. I don't know if anyone wants to respond.
I think it's a great topic for a summit. Sorry. Does anyone else want to see that as a... what would you like?
I don't know if we want to put it on something later. Like, I know we see SEL a lot, but I'm just concerned about some of our key component staff members who have left the district in the last year and are leaving this year. So I don't know if this is something we want to talk about, like at L&T, or I just wanted to kind of make a statement and bring it up.
So that's a pretty wide-ranging thing. So
I know, right?
Like
sorry.
Programs, people, new programs in the area.
I just think in relation to the county, we are not leading in mental health strategies right now. There's lots of programs that are being shown in Batavia and Geneva. We're definitely getting there. I just would like to see us more aggressive with it. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to bring it up to the board because this is something that I'm in all the time. I'm seeing the comparison. So Am I supposed to come up with an idea of what I'd like to see?
Like, yep, it's your job since you brought it to new business. What specifically would you like?
Specifically, I'd like to see this brought up in L&T probably as an initiative.
Could I ask, could I maybe suggest that we do a review?
Or maybe you can help me out
of
here.
What we have.
Okay.
Because things do get added on, and I forgot there's a position, and I really couldn't say student assistance counselor. And I thought, is that a SAC?
Yes.
Student assistance? And I thought, how is that different than the original, what we would say, for substance abuse? So I think we could all use to see maybe what we have already, and ask administration to have that ready, and then we will give them direction. Is that not enough? Do we want more people?
That's good. I just wanted to kind of bring it to the forefront.
Is there not a second for that, but once before we had said that, two board members need to want to hear about a topic before we would move forward?
Yeah, I would support that, to do a review.
Okay, I'm just following our little rule.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have something else?
No.
Okay. And you had a second thing. I'm sorry. So I'm just going to make sure that Dr. Pearson, did you catch what we were asking for? Okay. Okay.
So I have a question or clarification on the superintendent's report, and I'm not sure if it's new business, but can I ask a question in relation to that?
Is it not confidential?
It is. Well, it's something I saw on Facebook, so I would assume it's non-confidential. So I was
put it on Facebook?
No, it was out there on Facebook. So it was just in relation to the ethics investigation. You gave us an update that it's ongoing, so I appreciate that. But I guess what I understand is that it's the internal attorneys doing the investigation, and I just wanted to ask the board maybe if they had any opinions or comments on that, or if you had any opinions or comments on that.
Yeah, so I think it's the right person to do the investigation. It's someone that's familiar with our policy, and it's also someone that we pay to provide that information. And that's who I'm interested in hearing from first. If we feel like we need an additional opinion, we certainly can move beyond that. I know that there's people that would suggest that there's a conflict of interest, but please understand that no matter who we have provide that information to us, we would be paying them to do that.
Okay, and this is new to me, so bear with me on the clarification. So,
thank you. I am just relating to the item I had brought up from DPTO. I told the members there they seem to really be animated and interested in kind of the discrepancies in field trip policy. It's mostly elementary parents there at that meeting, so that maybe that kind of helps you understand. So I would like to ask board members if we might look into field trips, particularly at elementary school, policy, principal discretion, funding, the PTO role, equity, and teacher motivation to have field trips, and how that relates to the equity issue in different schools. So those are some topics I thought of, but if anybody else had anything, I would like to ask them to chime in. I think it's kind of interesting for me as a parent. I think for years, once again, decades, to say, parents have always felt that there's just inequity. Oh, we never do this or that, and there probably are. It's never as bad as a parent might think it is in this role, and or not in this role, on this topic, and that I think there's just that feeling that it's not fair, as I think it was explained to me. So I'd like to just see what we do and learn more about it. And I think in particular, district has, the board has a role because it might have to do with funding. It might have to do with curriculum. No, not might. It will have to do with curriculum. And I think people would be interested.
Mrs. Yule, thank you for bringing that up. As someone else who was sitting at DPTO, I think it's a concern for a lot of the PTOs. I personally am also unclear on kind of what the policies are for the PTO participation fund with the funding, as well as kind of our responsibility as a district with funding. And then I believe some of the schools present that all field trips have to be related to curriculum. Some maybe aren't related to that specific curriculum, but are kind of add-ons. So I would love to see some clarification on what our actual kind of policies and procedures are, and then also what are our practices maybe, and then how we can help make it more equilateral amongst the schools if they aren't. So maybe where we can help mentor some of the PTOs and principals about how to make it more equal.
It would make sense to me that this is a perfect spreadsheet opportunity. This is what goes on at the different schools. This is what goes on at the different grade levels. This is what our current policy has been. Put that all together, and at that point, you maybe have something to discuss. I mean, I think you're kind of jumping the horse here that there is anything. We don't know that there's anything to discuss, and we don't
Absolutely.
Know if there are inequities or not. So I would think this is something that can be gleaned fairly. None of it's ever going to be simple because you have many moving parts, but I would still think it should be something we would be able to put on a spreadsheet, have a look at, and decide if it's something we need to get actively involved in.
That's a valid point. I will just say, yeah. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, see if it's something we need to be involved, to be involved in.
The perception of the PTO representatives is that there's inequities. We don't know if there truly is or not.
And after teaching 25 years, I will tell you that there's inequities that people feel between the four second grades in one school.
Yeah.
So you just have to flush it out and see what it is before you decide that there are inequities and that there's a problem. There may be something the board needs to be involved in, but there may not be either.
Anyone else? I would just suggest, too, that this could go either to learning and teaching or community relations, since I felt like it came from the community at that meeting. But wherever is a place for it. It's up to you.
Yeah. I would certainly hope that any field trip we take is aligned with learning and teaching, so we're going to bring it to learning and teaching.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, everyone. Now there's an opportunity for citizen comments. Is there another? Ms. Christopher's, Laura Christopher's there to talk about community engagement. You were here probably for the first time we read the statement. Are you familiar with it? Is that okay? Thank you.
So just wanted to comment on a couple of things. I like the discussion that I heard tonight, the fact that you guys are looking and moving forward to include the community, get some feedback. So like what I've seen, this I haven't been around as much, if anybody's noticed, but like I know that you've been talking about community engagement for what seems like a couple of months, but all the discussions so far have been board-driven, so I'm wondering like where is the community voice? When you're talking about community engagement, I think that should include community members. So one of my friends one time made an analogy saying it's like talking, like a room full of men talking about women's health care. I think you're missing the group here if you're not engaging with the community. So in moving forward, when you're looking at what the needs are and what needs to be done, I hate to see it continue as just a board-only discussion because it's totally missing the point. So that would just be my opinion. I like that you're interested in considering what we have to say and not just we, the handful that come, but find a way to do it. I know maybe at the community relations meeting when it was first brought up, you guys talked about spending money, like doing these surveys. Like I'm not talking about spending, you don't need to spend $40,000 on a phone survey to figure out what the community needs or wants. Just saying find ways to get the opinions and actually look at the opinions. I think the board does a lot of talking, does a little bit of listening and maybe not enough validating. So when you have people coming with concerns and coming with opinions, the procedures for the administrators to acknowledge the concerns at a later date. So just wondering like if that's being done, how do you know it's being done? Is it being done effectively? All of these are parts of that process. And thank you for allowing us this time to speak at the end. Wasn't something I was planning to do or prepared for, but I'm glad to be able to give my opinion. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Christopher. That concludes the main part of the meeting. However, the board will go into closed session for a period of time. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session by roll call vote for the purposes of student discipline, 2, collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, 3, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity. And 4, litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the closed meeting. May I have that motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. McNally is second at that motion. Okay. Would you take the roll, please?
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
No.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Noling?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries.
We are back in open session. Mrs. Schwartz, will you take the roll call?
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Here.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Mr. Noling?
Here.
Ms. Weibel?
Here.
Mrs. Huell?
Here.
So, may I have a motion for student discipline?
The school board of St. Charles School District 303 reviewed the hearing report of its appointed hearing officer in closed session in the matter of the discipline of student E-181905 pursuant to section 10-22.6 of the Illinois School Code. And on the basis of all testimony and evidence presented at the hearing, the board has determined that student E-181905 is guilty of gross misconduct, and the board has further determined that student E-181905's out-of-school suspension was justified, and that student E-181905 should be expelled from St. Charles School District 303. The student is expelled for the remainder of the 2018-2019 school year and through the end of the 2019-2020 school year. However, the student's expulsion shall be held in abeyance for so long as the student successfully attends and completes the Safe Schools program or another program selected by the district in lieu of expulsion. Should the student and his/her parents or guardians elect to attend the Safe School program, they need to sign the agreement for attendance at the Safe Schools program in the form previously approved by the school board.
May I have a second?
Second.
Mrs. Weibel. Any other discussion of this matter? None heard. Ms. Schwartz, will you take the roll, please?
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Noling?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes. Motion carries. May I have a motion to return to closed session by roll call vote for the purposes of collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees.
So moved.
Ms. Linkemer, a second?
Second.
Ms. Fairgreen, would you take a roll?
We should, before we're going.
This is just the motion. Yeah. So.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Noling?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries. Thank you very much.